little children know inner, outer bliss. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Little children know inner, outer bliss. What a wonderful gift to be a little child and to know inner and outer bliss. All of us have the opportunity of knowing inner and outer bliss if we choose. But how often do we choose? How often do we choose to know inner and outer bliss? How often do we choose to be aware of who and what we are? How often do we choose to be aware that we are bliss? We are the absolute wonderful quality of bliss. Little children really know inner and outer bliss. Now, how do they know that? They know that because of their natural naivete, their natural innocence. And this innocence is so beautiful and so glorious, it needs to be encouraged. It needs to be encouraged by everyone in their world. Now, so often we take advantage of it because we think that they're stupid, or we think that they're dumb, or that they're unaware of what is the highest and best. But really, they do know. They do know what is the highest and best for them, and they live it. They live it. And they're never touched by anything in the world other than something that is beneficial or positive for them. They live in this state of innocence, this state of bliss, where all of the time they're thinking happy, beautiful, uplifting thoughts, joyful thoughts. Can you ever imagine a little child, a baby, for instance, can you ever imagine him thinking an unhappy thought? You think an unhappy thought, but he doesn't. You think an unhappy thought, but she has no idea in her mind of the unhappy thoughts that are going around. She's living in her own wonderful, blessed bliss. And in this state of consciousness, all things are going out just as wonderfully as they can be. There are no problems. There are no things that need to be done. There are no pants that need to be changed. There's no bottle that needs to be given. There's no opportunity to sleep. When they want to sleep, they sleep. They just drop right off to sleep because they're number one in their world. They're the very best. They are the absolute being in their world. They are so fantastic in their world that everything they do is good. Now, you and I might interpret that. We might judge that. We might think that the things that they do may not be so good. And because we think the things they do may not be so good, from our point of view, they might not be so good. Whereas in absolute truth, they are magnificent, joyous, fantastic, marvelous, foreverlastingly very good. Watch little children, babies. Watch babies at play. And what do you see them doing? You see them doing all sorts of things that have no meaning to you. They have no meaning to anyone else because they are living in their wonderful, divine, blessed world. They're living in their very special world, a world that is untouched by the outer. Oh, they may hear train noises that might make them be disturbed for a minute, but if you're not disturbed, they're not disturbed. They might almost fall off the table, and you catch them, and if you're not disturbed, if you say, "No, how about that? You are something else again," and they're not disturbed. But the minute the adult attitude, the minute the adult world impinges upon the world of the innocent child begins to build up blocks in its world blocks of limitation that say, oh, this might not be good, this might not be the right thing for me, this might be bad, this might... And they begin to develop the attitude of right and wrong. They begin to develop the attitude of good and bad. They begin to develop the attitude that says to them, there are things in this world that are not right, not good, not beautiful. And in that attitude, in that way of being, little by little, they're sliding out of the world of inner bliss. They're sliding away from the world of bliss that they were born into. Yes, born into it. They were born into a world where everything was right. Everything is good. Everything is beautiful. Everything is magnificent. And it's only the adult attitude that entered into their thought system and caused them to be judgmental. For a baby is not judgmental. A baby thinks everything is good and everything is to be chewed on. Everything is to be delighted in. That everybody in the world is there for them. Everybody in the world is in existence for the baby itself. They have no consequence of their idea of who they are. They know that they're wonderful. They know that they're beautiful. They know that they are fantastic. They know that everything they do is supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, and they love every instant of it. Now, how can they be born into that, and how can they so quickly change from that non-judgmental attitude into an attitude of judgment, into an attitude of thinking some things are right and some things are wrong, of thinking the world is not really as fantastic as they had originally thought? Where does that come from? Well, the adult mature world about them is a world where people are constantly looking at life and saying, this is good and this is bad. People are constantly making judgments as to what life is all about. And in these judgments that they make of what life is all about, they come to all sorts of considerations that say some things are beneficial and some things are not beneficial. The innocent child does not think that. The innocent child lives in a world of absolute bliss. Everyone wants to do something for the child. Everyone wants to make the child's world a happy world. Everyone wants to make the child's world a blessed world, filled with all the things that a child could ever want to play with, that a child could ever want to dream about, that a child could ever want. And a child wants to go to sleep. It doesn't ask its mother if it could go to sleep. It just drops off into dreamland. And dropping off into dreamland, it is in pleasure. 100% pleasure. And it's a very happy child. And when the child wakes up, the pleasure continues. The child knows only its own bliss. And as it knows only its own bliss, it continues to enjoy life in every beautiful, fabulous way. And as it enjoys life in every beautiful, fabulous way, it continues to be in that state of bliss during all of its life, during all of its existence. For a child is always a child. The moment that a child ceases to be a child is when a parent says to the child, grow up, take responsibility. This is not a nice world. This is a world where you got to get out and earn your living. You got to get out and do these things. You got to get out and buy the fuel to put in the furnace to make the house warm and cozy. You got to buy the food. Your brothers and sisters are competing with you. The world out there is competing with you. Everybody wants your attention. And the child that lives in a state of bliss is not quickly shoved out of it. It's quick as far as time is concerned, but not quickly as far as the child is concerned, because the child is just doing what it's doing. It's one moment it lives in this bliss where all is beautiful and good, and then another moment, boom, where it has a responsibility. It is told that its diapers are wet or its diapers are dirty. It's told that it is hungry. It's told these things. Oh, well, my goodness, no. It knows that it's hungry itself, and it cries when it's hungry. It doesn't cry when it's hungry. When it's hungry, it lets you know that its tummy is empty, and the only way it has of doing that is by being goo-goo-ga-ga or crying. And when a child goo-goo and ga-ga and saying, I'm ready for this, I'm ready for that, I'm ready to do this, and we understand it in our mature ignorance, we understand, then the child can get anything it wants merely by being its own happy self. And a child really doesn't care whether its pants are changed or not. It's you that's care. It's you that has that wet diaper in your hand. It's you that is upset by that. The child doesn't care. The child just is. Now, why do we care? Well, because they smell, because they are something we think we must immediately tend to and take care of and change. And when the child says, Mama, da-da-da-da, it's saying, I'd like my bottle. I'd like something to eat. And when it doesn't get something to eat, it persists in saying, da-da-da-da-da, and just singing happily. And then after a while, the hunger in its tummy grows, and it says, hey, I'm not getting any attention. Da-da-da. It's my lunchtime. It's my dinner time. It's my eating time. And as the parent pays no attention, the child does what it must to get the parent's attention. It cries. And so then it has the parent's attention. But it doesn't want to do that. It wants to always be in bliss. It wants to always be in happiness. It wants to always be content. And truly, if a child doesn't get something to eat, it'll fall asleep. And it'll forget all about everything. And you say, well, no, it's nature that a child wants to eat. It's nature that a child has hunger. It's nature. No. It's nature that a child may have this go on in his physical body, but in reality, it doesn't really care. In reality, it just flows from one loving experience to another. And a child that's taught to delight in everything, to be happy in everything, will sing songs, will be happy in its voices, and it need not cry. How many babies do you know that don't cry? Well, how many parents do you know that don't get angry? How many parents do you know that don't really like to take care of the baby's duties? How many parents do you know that are bothered by, oh, if my child would only sleep through the night, if this would only happen, if that would only happen? And as they have this unhappiness, as they have this anxiety, that is transmitted into the child's attitude, the child's world. But truly, the child lives in bliss, in the inner and in the outer. And you and I can live in the same bliss in the inner and the outer because we once were a child and we can always be a child. We can always be a child finding the good in everything. Not because we're looking for the good, but because we are good and we can only see what we are in our inner and outer world. When we change from this attitude of goodness, when we get into the attitude of demands, when we get into the attitude of manipulation, when we get into the attitude of control, we change from that blissful baby, that wonderful child, that wonderful infant that lives in a state of inner and outer bliss. But the inner and outer bliss is always still there. We can return to our original purity and integrity, to that original childhood, that original inner and outer bliss, and we can live it now, and we can live it in every moment of our life if we'd like. But the moment we worry about what we must do and who we must be, we cease to be that blissful child, and we pretend we are this responsible adult. All of us could always continue to be that inner, outer, blissful child, for that's who we really are. It's not a matter of responsibility or irresponsibility. The inner child finds good everywhere. The inner child finds good in its being and outer. The inner child finds all around it good, beautiful, wonderful things. This we can do ourselves as we return to our original purity and integrity, our inner outer bliss that has never left us, but we left it by not having our attention on it. And today we can begin to put our attention on that inner outer bliss and really start to experience some rather fantastic things in our life if we want to. But it's only something we do by our choice. It's only something we do because we're ready to live in our inner and outer bliss as we originally did and always really do. Join me today in this inner and outer bliss of absolute happiness, joy, and peace. It's yours and it's mine forevermore, and that is truly who we are. I love you. I love you. I love you. I like you. I like you. I like you.